a radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's Gallant.
That's a G,
yo. And George.
Thanks, Joe.
Okay. Yeah.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant and Joe George.
A few weeks ago, Nolan Arenado, a St. Louis Cardinal third baseman, was the subject of a potential trade with the Houston Astros. An agreement was reached in principle, but Arenado had a no-trade clause, and he was unwilling to waive his no-trade clause to be shipped to the Astros. But apparently, after Alex Bregman joined the Boston Red Sox and after some of the moves that the Astros have made, Arenado's now looking at the Astros and would waive his no-trade clause, and I guess the Astros are interested in Arenado again. That's the reporting we're seeing. I don't know how much teeth there is to these rumors, Joe. What I do know is that you keep on looking at this infield over and over and over again. You know it's going to be dramatically different. Now it's just a matter of how different is it going to be. Is it really going to be three completely new Astros in the infield? We'll see.
I think my gut tells me yes, because Walker and Paredes are in it. Pena's in it. So is the other one mostly Altuve? Is it mostly Arenado? Is it the kid they picked up from Colorado last week? Can't remember his name. The Gold Glove winner. Like, is he your...
Brendan...
Rogers?
Rogers, not Riley.
Is it Dubon? Is he your everyday second baseman? Like, it... The more, the farther we get into spring training, even though it's still very early, they seem very adamant and confident that Jose Altuve can play left field. They are going to either, whether it's Brendan Rogers, Dubon, other guys on the roster, they have so many infielders. Like, you still have Bryce Matthews right there, too. Like,
yeah.
He could be up. He could win the job in spring training. That's part of the reason why I don't like the Arenado thing, too. It's like, what if Bryce Matthews has an amazing spring training? So he just gets to sit in the minors because of Nolan Arenado? Why?
The more I think about it, the less it makes sense. But ultimately, the thing I just can't get past is, why are we hearing about this with any outfielder for the Astros? Why are there no sniffs for outfielders? Why are there no tea leaves out there suggesting that they're pursuing that? Why are they this confident in their outfield? And I guess still not 100% sure what they're doing in the infield despite a lot of changes that they have made this offseason. It's strange.
Yeah, it is, because you would think adding a right fielder or a center fielder for a similar price, like you can find a player of some, you know what, a player that reported a spring training that had to acknowledge that he was being talked about in trade rumors is Starling Marte. When he got to camp for the Mets, he acknowledged that the Mets were trying to shop him this offseason. I mean, I don't know if he's that much different than Arenado right now. I mean, the batting average last year is not that different overall. I mean, he's still probably a solid defender. I'm not sure is it an upgrade over Jake Myers? Probably. Like, why not go after Nolan? I mean, after Starling Marte. Like, why are you so hell bent on adding an infielder? This seems like the Jim Crane, Jeff Bagwell splashy name thing, where they like name brand recognition.
Yeah.
Jersey sales.
But I mean, who's playing a Nolan Arenado jersey?
I mean, if you're going to buy one of the three, Walker, Paredes, Arenado.
I'd rather buy a cheaper Bregman jersey.
They are 30% off.
Yeah, I'd much rather buy a 30% off Bregman jersey if I got to wear those fanatic rags.
Well, they're fixing the jerseys, though.
Sure they are.
Well, maybe not for the customers, for the players at least.
Sure they are.
But, like, Arenado would be the one of the three that I guess, like, I would say, like, the average fan would, like, buy a jersey of. But that's what this feels like to me. It's just, it's a big name and the Astros are interested in it.
But it's not even, like, great interest either. It's half-assed interest. It's just strange that of all the interest anywhere, that's what we've heard about a lot. It's just a bunch of infielders. Nothing on the outfield at all.
Maybe
from
they
start
like
to
it.
Finish.
Maybe they like it.
They shouldn't.
I totally agree. They should not like it. They should not like an outfield that will be Altuve and McCormick Myers.
Yeah, they're putting Altuve in the outfield. Whether that works or not, or doesn't work, it does scream desperation.
And that's before, like, actually, like, replacing Myers or McCormick. Like, their plan for left field was like, all right, Altuve plays a little bit more. And then Trammell and Gamble. Let's just see. Like, that's just what it is. It's like, well, we'll see what these fringe MLB players.
Trammell has a calf injury and is going to be out for a while, and Ben Gamble has a black eye.
Yeah. Apparently took a foul ball.
Foul ball.
That sucks.
That really has to. Wait, was it his own foul ball?
No.
Oh.
That's kind of embarrassing. You got to keep your head on a swivel. You just get hit by a ball.
I get that there's like three different things happening on the field all at once, but come on, dude.
There's a lot going on in spring training. He might have been watching Altuve play left field. He's like, is this Altuve guy? Is this 5'6" man going to take my time in the outfield?
A lot of guys don't have black eyes. A lot of guys aren't on the field. Only one of them has a black eye.
That's a good point.
That's all I'm going to say.
That's fair.
Astros built for this?
I don't know. Yes, I think so.
They're fighting through all the injuries, you know? You got knee soreness for Pedro León.
Mm-hmm.
You have a bruise of sorts that's keeping Taylor Trammell out forever.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, Ben Gamble's in a fight club.
And Dubon's hurt too, isn't he? Or something?
Probably.
I thought I saw that earlier. But yeah, this is spring training's rolling. And, you know, we'll see.
It's rolling.
It's
rolling.
Guys are hurt.
It's rolling so rolly.
Oh, that's Dubin. Dubin's hurt.
Yeah.
Sean Dubin.
Dubin and Dubon.
I was close. It's only a letter off.
Mm-hmm.
That is true.
Dubin and Dubon are only a letter off of one another. Thank you for that.
Welcome. That's what I'm here for. That's what I'm here for, Paul.
So, there you go, guys. That's spring training. I'm not going to lie. Like, the more I try to talk about the Astros in spring training, the less excited I get.
Well, I think like once the guys start playing, I think spring training is a little bit better. But they only air, what, like 12?
They aired two games over the weekend. They aired one on Saturday, which they lost. They aired the one yesterday, which they won. We saw Cam Smith walk a couple of times. It's more, what is it about this year's team that is exciting and new? That does not exist yet.
No, it's Altuve and left. I mean, DiCenzo is the guy that when we keep talking about the outfield that has not been mentioned yet. I think the best case scenario is he wins the right field job.
I was going to say, there we mentioned him.
Yeah, like you probably want him to win the right field job this offseason. That would probably be best for the Astros.
Yeah, right. And then you split
McCormick and Myers.
In center.
Woo!
Yeah.
That's not
Hail West, here we come. Yeah,
now we're moving jerseys with some DiCenzos.
DiCenzo jerseys?
Oh, hell yeah. The Italians will love that.
I mean, look, they're trying to sell jerseys right now. They're working on the bee community. AJ Blueball, he's a beekeeper.
I saw that.
His dad's a beekeeper.
Okay, good.
But they sell the honey, or they bring the honey to the clubhouse.
Mm. I was going to say we are 6 weeks away from AJ Blueball on the IL for bee discomfort. Bee-related discomfort.
Oof. Getting stung by a bee.
It's the worst.
It's actually not that bad.
It's not the worst.
I got, like, traumatized.
I thought it would be the worst. And then when I got stung by a bee, I was like, wait, so I was just being a little weenie about this my whole life, and that's all it was?
I got on my palm.
Yeah, I mean,
right in the middle. And, like, that sucked. So, like, ever since then, like, freaked me out, but...
There's no denying that, for a moment... It certainly sucks, and it can get itchy, or it might be just there for a while, but generally, bee stings are very disappointing.
Well, not disappointing, but just...
Disappointing from
overhyped.
The perspective of...
Bees are overhyped.
Right, and I think people see a bee, and like there's definitely some sort of instinct where a human sees a bee, and you're like,
Yeah.
You know? But then when you actually get stung by one... It's not that bad. If it's a wasp or a hornet, totally different story. That's a lot. That's actually painful. But
they look meaner, the wasps.
Well, they are. The hornets are, there's murder hornets. Like, they're real. And they just murder the bleep out of bees.
Been a while since we heard about the murder hornets.
Mm-hmm.
They were in Washington, right? That's where they
Correct.
Showed up.
Correct. But listen, bee stings, overrated.
Washed watch.
Bee stings. Yeah. I'm just mad that I spent all my life being a little nervous about him. Then I finally got stung. So you had a traumatizing bee experience?
I was like a little kid. We were like...
Were you out in the woods with your best friend and playground. You were in love with them and then they got stung to death by bees?
No, playground. It was just like walking back into class.
Oh, okay.
Closed my hand. Happened to catch a bee on accident.
So you caught the bee?
No, I just like closed my hand and apparently it was already there. I didn't realize it. I closed my hand and it stung my palm.
You have incredible reflexes, though.
It was not on purpose. So then that
it was like, just an act. Like you just, I just the like, bee like, was just in your
yes, I
just, hands was, and you
worst
just,
timing ever. Apparently, huh. Then I walked to class every day back from recess with my hands closed for the next like year.
Entirely because of that.
Because I was scared. I was going
the one in a billion.
Yeah, was scared it was going to happen again.
You didn't think that it was overrated?
I was in like third grade.
Yeah, I know.
Your palm's a sensitive area.
It's crazy. I never got stung by a bee until I was in my 20s.
Really?
Yeah. And that was the first time I was like, oh, damn, that's it. Not that bad. I mean, if I was your age, I probably would have hit like an absolute weenie for sure.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Tears are there.
Stung me. Right. I mean, yeah, when you're little, it sucks. But
I was probably trying to get sent home from school on purpose from that.
Did you know anybody who was like deathly allergic to that too?
No, I never have. I mean, like it's always. I feel like it's like you see it on like TV shows and movies. They put it in there, but like I've never met anyone that's.
There was a girl in my grade who I remember. Like we were told that she was allergic to bees. We're like, oh my god, that's terrifying. And she had to have a little fanny pack with basically whatever you get injected with, just in case. Whenever we went outside for recess, yeah, the EpiPen, yeah.
I've also never met anyone that's like the reason why we can't have nuts on airplanes anymore. Like allergic to nuts like that.
Oh, I there's a kid at camp where he was like so allergic to peanuts, like he would like break out if like someone in the lunchroom had peanuts, like it was just in the air, he would like rash up.
That would be a terrible, like if it was that bad, I could not imagine.
Well, I remember back when I was in fourth grade, my mom and another kid's mom got in a big argument because one of her kids, not my mom's kids, one of the other lady's kids was allergic to peanuts. And one time, I guess there was like a lunch event where there were peanuts there and nothing happened. It wasn't an issue. But for whatever reason, my mom and this mom were beefing about it. I don't mean like just for 1 year. I think it was like a 3 year beef. Yeah. Yeah, they like it was funny. I think my dad and her husband were friends, and this peanut incident led to a massive schism. Anyway, yeah, spring training, guys. Spring training.
Allergies. We're talking about nut allergies.
I mean, look, hey, we've seen baseball games be canceled by bees before.
That is true.
At least delayed.
Or like delayed, yeah.
Right.
So it does happen.
But
if it happens at Minute Maid, the Astros just got to get Blue Ball to drive over.
Well, it won't happen at Minute Maid.
You're at Daikin.
Daikin Park. Yeah, they're scrubbing all memories of Minute Maid Park off. Saw a slideshow in the Chronicle. Thanks for the Chronicle bringing back slideshows. I've missed those. But they had a slideshow in the Chronicle, and they got to show everybody all the ways that Minute Maid Park is no longer Minute Maid Park.
Did you click through all of them?
I clicked through all of them because, listen, I'm looking for the spring training content that you guys need. The spring training content that you guys desire, because baseball, of course, is just an incredibly riveting sport, and spring training is just a really important time of year.
But I don't want it to be entertaining. I want it to be normal. I don't want, like, Altuve ran into a wall. I don't want that update. I just want...
You think so little of Altuve in left field, and I'm just going to run with this, Joe, even though I know you don't feel that way. I'm just going to keep on saying, like, man, does Joe George think that Jose Altuve can run with his two legs without some sort of Mr. Magoo-esque
accident? Yeah, I mean, they have Mr. Bean out there.
Guys, I want to run the bases. Like...
Yeah, but he's not the worst fielder out there.
No,
it's decision making at the bases.
I just don't get why like they're so confident. Like this is what we have to do. We have to trade for Nolan Arenado. We have to do all these things. I just don't get it.
What if Altuve getting picked off all the time is because he just has an intense case of ADD and he just forgets sometimes?
He's just bored of baseball.
Yeah, so outfield would not work. Outfield's the wrong place.
So much worse.
The outfield's the wrong place to send somebody with attention deficit disorder,
especially when like Frommer's on the mound who doesn't like. Get pop-ups? Altuve's going to stand out there for 9 innings most games, which is good. Won't have to do much.
They cut to him. He's, like, picking flowers out of him.
They're gonna plant Nintendo Switch out.
Yeah. He has AirPods in, just listening to a podcast.
That'd be fun. Anyway, guys, spring training baseball. Catch the fever. He's Joe. I'm Paul. I got Sean Mabes behind the glass. Ime Udoka is making headlines again for the things he says. The Rockets had a nice weekend. They went over the Timberwolves on Friday. You saw Jalen Green outduel Anthony Edwards. That was nice if you still feel like Jalen Green can be somebody. But after the game on Saturday where the Rockets lost to a 14-win Jazz team, Ime Udoka was back at it, and we are back to 0 days, 0 games since Ime Udoka had to call out the team afterwards. Here is Ime Udoka just at the beginning of the press conference.
But it was ugly, embarrassing. Not a competitive game all the way around.
How would you assess the defensive effort tonight?
Terrible.
I was really hoping he would say terrible more there.
terrible.
Terrible.
That's all I wanted to say. It's just how terrible it was. Because it was terrible.
On the second night of a back-to-back, I do hate that it is actually a defensible argument to say, well, they're on the second night of a back-to-back and they got in to Utah very, very late after the win on Friday.
Yeah. I mean, I do get it. And if you look at what they're doing with back-to-backs right now, they haven't won both of them. I don't know the last time they've won two back-to-backs. January 27th and 28th, they lost to the Knicks in Brooklyn in a back-to-back. They split with Dallas and Toronto. They split with Phoenix and Golden State. They split with Minnesota and Utah. So, like, they haven't in a month won a back-to-back, two games in a back-to-back. So clearly they're struggling with it. And I get it. It's hard. It's not easy. But that's where I think Ime Udoka's frustration coming in is just he probably expects more from this team at this point in the season. They're just not showing it. Having to talk about competitiveness all the time, it's tough.
It gets old. But weirdly, I'm on the fence with whether it's old for me. Because I do like hearing him do it all the time. I want him to constantly be pushing these players. But on the other side of things, I wonder if there will come a moment where these guys are like, oh, my God.
Well, I think
like we were talking earlier, like if it gets to a Chris Paul phase,
yeah,
where you're like just tired of dealing with this over and over again.
I think part of it, too, is like when does it get old for Ime? Like that's really like
I don't think it can get old for him. I think that's just how he's wired.
More, but like with this group, like I think that's how he is wired. But like if he truly believes like competitiveness is a problem with this team, and they're taking the season to evaluate the roster before they make any splashy moves potentially in the offseason, like having to rail about competitiveness all the time, and like obviously he's not calling out specific players, so it's hard to know like exactly what he thinks the issue is. The only player he really calls out is Amen. I feel like. And he does that because he has had high expectations for him. And he even has done it in a jokingly manner when he joked about the Western Conference Player of the Week thing like 2 weeks ago. But if Ime is tired of it, that's really the more, I think, long-term interesting thing is like, if he doesn't think some of these guys can be competitive on back-to-backs, then they're probably not a fit for Ime.
Here's more Ime Udoka. It's not what Udoka says here, which is, again, critical of the Rockets as much as the way he says it when asked a weirdly timed question given the Rockets just lost to a 14-win team.
Coach, the Rockets have a young and talented team. What has been the biggest challenge in developing these players, and what aspects do you think will take them to the next level?
Consistent competitiveness and taking a jump in the IQ department.
A little smirk. With the eye roll.
That last part was interesting.
The IQ?
Yeah. And again, he's always going to find a way to neg these guys if they're not playing well. But the IQ department.
Yeah, I mean.
Rather pointed.
Yeah.
No, they're not just not trying. They're dumb. I mean, that's basically what he's saying there. And along the way, as you said, Joe, he smirks when asked about this team being so young and talented. Dumb night to ask that question, buddy boy.
Yeah, it's and
whoever asked it.
But I do appreciate the honesty in which he gives with just that little smirk and eye roll. Yeah, I mean, look, this is a team that struggled to close basketball games. Like that is a lot of it is IQ, taking good shots. And you know, we saw Jabari being the lineup was obviously terrible pretty offensively in this game, with Tari Eason having to sit out in a back-to-back. And we'll apparently we'll find out tomorrow if Fred VanVleet's going to return. They have to wait and see how he did, how he responded at practice today to see if he's going to play. But yeah, he just young and talented. I still don't know if he was annoyed at the question or the idea of the roster being young and talented.
He's laughing at the question. Yeah. This is the worst night to ask that, and maybe this guy's putting together some sort of package about the Rockets or the young upstarts of the NBA. But at this point, yeah, the shelf life of that 2 weeks ago, there's a lot more demand for that article than what we've seen from this team of late, where they've been struggling to close out games, and they've looked tired a lot. And you can't really change looking tired by the end of the year. So this might be a conditioning thing to go into next season that they're going to have to be better at. The guy who really looks tired more than anybody is Alperen Şengün.
Yeah.
Şengün looks just gassed out there. And you got to be a little bit nervous about that, given his size, his frame. He's young still, of course. But next year, will he actually take steps forward on that front? Because if he can't do that, then that perhaps makes this a, well, if you're going to keep one Şengün or Green, who do you keep? It makes that conversation actually more of a debate again, especially when Green plays the way that he did Friday night. And with, I think Ben DeBose put out the numbers, the way he has played for the past 80 games, where he's shooting 35% from outside. Not bad.
No, he's put together like a good enough like tracker. I would say both guys have. Where like if you want, whoever you want to buy into this offseason, like if you're going to pick one, I think the Rockets fan base is going to be split if they choose one. I don't get the sense that fans want Alpi more than they want Jalen, and vice versa. But Alpi can't fish at the rim. Like
no.
Yeah, it's funny because the two shortcomings are things that are, if you want to be an apologist, you're just like, well, that'll just figure itself out. Like finishing around the rim. Like Alperen Şengün was good at finishing around the rim his first 3 years in the league. This year, it's like almost come at the sacrifice of him being good at defense or better at defense. And I don't know why those two things should be correlated other than maybe you're just tired by trying on defense. And then, but even then, like, you don't really think of having weak legs or, you know, you don't have your legs underneath you for layups. Like, that's just not a thing that you really think about. And then Jalen Green, it's like you said, over the last 80 games, 35% from three, but it's a lot of 70% games and then 20% games.
Yeah.
Where if he was just 35% every night, that'd be so much better.
Right. It's just so volatile.
Yeah. It is just, it is either 7-10 or 2-11.
And then, like, right as the season kind of started to unravel a little bit to where it was, you had a couple close games where you're trying to get game winning shots in, and the play's drawn up for Amen Thompson. It's not drawn up for Jalen Green. Like, that does. That means something to me.
For sure, yeah.
Ime is making that conscious choice.
There was one that was drawn up for a three for, I think it was Brooklyn, the Brooklyn game, where mm-hmm. it was drawn up for a three for Jalen, and he got a good look. But yeah, it does seem like, I mean, the big issue is that it was the same play both times, where it was Amen Thompson, the exact same part of the court, doing the exact same fake handoff,
yeah.
where it's like, Can we not do it two times in three nights? Like can we have a third pitch here or a second pitch that we try on these late game out of bounds situations?
I do think Ime is kind of skating by a little bit, you know,
skating by a little bit.
I think most times we would look at coaches a little bit more if competitiveness and closing situations and you know like we would put more blame on coaches, and right now Ime, it's all on the players. Ime is not taking, no one's really taking a look besides from the Turkish part of the Şengün fan base. Yeah. Like, I'm not even saying like Ime is to blame, but it surprises me that
he gets zero conversation yeah. about like what does Ime Udoka need to do better. It's all just like what the players need to do better. And I don't think that, I think maybe like, you know, he should get a little bit more, but I think directionally it's right. That it's like blame or, you know, blame pie. They're the fifth seed and no one thought they would be this good. But the blame pie for like what goes wrong with the Rockets, like the players do have more of it, but probably Ime does skate a little bit on that stuff.
Should Ime skate on that? 713-780-3776 to call in or text in. Galan and George, he's Joe and Paul, Sean behind the glass. ESPN 97.5, 92.5. Stick around.
ESPN 97.5.
Our foundation. We're back with Gallant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul and Joe.
So all we've got on the Astros today is that interest in Nolan Arenado is back. How serious is said interest? Doesn't seem to be that serious right now. We also saw the new general manager for the Jacksonville Jaguars introduced, Texans rivals in the AFC South. He had this to say about the fresh perspective he brings to the table. Quote, "I have a deep understanding of the modern tools and mechanisms that are revolutionizing the sport and is really looking to fuse analytics and evaluations." The guy looks really young. Mm-hmm. And I think as really well described by some random commenter on X, this man shows up at your doorstep to sell you solar panels.
Yeah, I can see that. They're going to take the nerdy approach. They're going to focus on analytics, and he apparently knows them.
They're just going to say all the things that you say. I really get mad when I hear people that use these buzzwords that are so vague with their meaning, and you're talking about your strategy, and it's just a bunch of, like, I'm talking about mechanisms, my mode of operation, cadence, efficiencies. Mm-hmm. This stuff just gets thrown out there, and it's the kind of crap that is run rampant on LinkedIn with all the people who are busy Marilyn Mansoning themselves on that app.
Yeah, and they're baseball words. A lot of times too, it feels like you said, deep understanding of the modern tools. It just feels very baseball. And we've seen teams kind of try to go like super analytical. Like we saw, you know, the Browns try this a little bit. I just feel like it just doesn't work in football in the way it's helpful, but it's not as simple in baseball.
Oh, they should bring it in for sure. I honestly though, if I'm a Jaguars fan and this guy's talking, this young looking guy, and then he's just giving me a bunch of vague generic terms that you would go win five times on a bingo card, mm-hmm. all five times, because he's just saying all the same things that you hear from those people that you just want to shut up. I hate LinkedIn. I hate people that constantly post on LinkedIn. You are a disease. You are a disease upon society. If you are someone who's constantly throwing LinkedInese out there, someone needs to stop you. I'm not saying how. I'm not intimating Luigi Mangione. I'm not doing mm-hmm. that. You know what I am saying is, though, you're a problem. You're ruining our country, our world, with your constant need to smell your own fart. And it's impressive the dexterity with which you can do it. But again, LinkedIn, it's just an absolutely horrible place, and they found James Gladstone straight off of LinkedIn.
Oh, yeah.
In the same way that Jack Easterby was born to be the eventual Hitler of LinkedIn. Like the guy who would rule it all with like one strong fist of generic, the same things over and over again.
Mm-hmm. I'm just trying to figure out who my mutual connection. Now I'm looking at my LinkedIn, trying to figure out who I am connected with that's also connected with Jack Easterby. Can I get a connection to Jack?
Jack Easterby's LinkedIn is a treasure. And if by treasure, you might be thinking to yourself, what do you mean by treasure? Oh, the kind of thing that you see and there's a part of you that wants to just end it all.
Yes.
But there's another part where you keep digging.
You can't look away.
Like cursed pirate treasure.
Yes.
Of some sort. Oh,
yeah. Yes. Cursed pirate treasure.
You unlock like some spirit that's been locked away for 1,000 years, but also a lot of gold.
Yeah.
A lot of gold.
Or like the one with like in Pirates of the Caribbean, you can't die.
Yeah.
But when the moon comes out,
yeah,
you're like skeleton.
A skeleton man.
Right.
That's tough.
That would suck.
That's a tough deal to take.
Hey, just you go to bed.
I don't know if they get to go to bed. I think the whole point was they want to rest, and they're just constantly awake. It's just it's nonstop, always up. And
being a pirate,
always pirating,
sucks.
Yeah, being a pirate would suck. You'd have scurvy all the time. I mean, at least you're dead, so that's not an issue. But
get a bunch of gold.
It's hard work, and for the rest of your life, and also you're a skeleton at night.
Yeah, so you're constantly on the run from the British, but at night you're a skeleton.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm assuming that if you're a skeleton, probably not getting lucky with the ladies.
Well, she's a skeleton too.
Who?
There's lady pirates.
No, there aren't. What are you talking about?
And pirates
are knightly.
Yeah, there's like one, and she wasn't a pirate.
No,
that's true. She became one eventually.
But
because she got kidnapped.
Do they go to port?
Yeah.
Yeah. Go to port. They have some establishments. Go to during the daytime.
Got to go in the daytime. But that's the thing. You're not gonna get the
primo.
You're gonna get like the
A1.
You're getting the C squad. During the day,
the JV game,
the 1 o'clock at the strip club crowd. Yeah, it's the minor leagues. It's the Corpus Christi hooks.
Okay, so things we learned today.
Not even the space.
Paul hates LinkedIn.
I hate LinkedIn with a passion.
It's pretty brutal.
It's a shame because like every now and then I will have somebody reach out to me on LinkedIn that I haven't talked to in a while, and I understand how for some people that is a way to reach out to people, but God, I just can't go on it because the people that actually are on the app all the time, like, are you actually getting jobs out of this when you're not posting a post kissing your own ass?
I think it's
you get jobs out of this?
I feel like when I look at LinkedIn, it's just all like, and I get it, not having jobs sucks. I feel like it's all just like, woe is me, and everyone else is the worst. So like it's not, everyone's just sad on LinkedIn.
Oh, like, you get that?
Yeah.
Damn, I'd rather have that.
Seems like a sad
place. I'd rather get off on other people's misery than read all these guys who are getting off on themselves.
And spam messages from colleges trying to get me to enroll in their programs. I don't know why I still get all those. The last one I got is from UTSA. Why? Why am I? I don't want to continue my education.
Why not?
I have a lot of debt. I don't want more.
Yeah, but trust us.
Also, what am I going to use the education for in radio?
You could be better on the fly talking about math.
So I need to go. You want me to go get a math degree?
Listen, there's
maybe a minor.
They're preventing you. They're providing you with opportunities. Opportunities to grow, Joe.
That's
grow
true.
For a nominal fee.
That's true.
And what if you have these skills?
I mean, I do have like a fake college degree.
Basically. Ooh, a fake college degree.
Well, it's radio broadcasting from an art school. It's not probably not like a real degree.
What if you signed up for like college algebra and you just took one college algebra class? Do you think you could? How do you think you would fare? Because I think about that all the time. Because I haven't taken a math class since 2015.
I don't remember what algebra is. Like, is it just normal math?
No.
Then I'll definitely
fail. I mean,
fail.
It is normal math, but there's... I'm assuming you're asking if there's letters in it.
Yeah.
There is letters.
That's not real math. There's no one uses letters in what we do.
We're never solving for X?
Nope. I don't need X to help me find out why Nolan Arenado is a declining baseball player. Maybe I do.
But I don't know. Those numbers could be useful.
Hard pass.
Someone runs down the hallway with a couple of pieces of paper. Sir, 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 you have to see this.
You want me to get a math intern next summer or in the fall or the summer?
Yeah, we just get a quant.
It's like, hey,
we'll have intern Billy run the numbers and we'll let you know.
This intern better have glasses.
Yeah.
If they don't have glasses, I won't trust them.
Even if they're fake, like just for the look.
I want, and there's a specific kind of glasses I want. I want glasses that have scotch tape in the middle of them.
Yeah.
I want glasses that look like they've been through it a little bit.
Harry Potter glasses.
Right, yeah. Perhaps it's a result of bullying or something like that. Like I want these guys to want it, you know?
All
to
the
prove
other
themselves
interns,
through math.
All the other interns can just kind of dress how they dress now, which is like mostly fine, but pretty casual. This one has to wear a tie and a button down.
Yeah. Yes.
That'll suck on days like today.
Yeah.
It's a gajillion degrees in a building.
In the building. Keyword in the building. Or yeah, it's not a gajillion
I think that's
degrees.
The problem is that it was like 40 this morning.
Yeah.
And now it's like 70. And our building can't catch up.
Slow building.
Well, maybe the little math intern, when they're done with the latest analytics on Nolan Avocado, they can come over to us and they can explain to Joe that it's not actually a gajillion degrees.
It's just 60.
Outside or inside.
Yeah, and it's like 76.
It's not the heat, it's the humidity too, by the way.
Gotcha.
That's what gets you in here.
So I need a weather intern too.
What if he can optimize how the strategy between what to set the thermostat at?
That would be great. Mm-hmm. Just optimize that strategy. Anyway, it's Gallant and George, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5713-780-3776 to call it. To text it, you can join us on YouTube at ESPN News. You can join us on Twitch at ESPN 975. Garbage time is next. Stick around.
You're listening to Gallant and George on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's Paul Gallant and Joe George.
Last chance today is Gallant and George. He is Joe. I am Paul. And Sean Mapes is behind the glass. Whole gang back together. I just saw a video of an 11-year-old kid who is 6'5" playing basketball. The average 11-year-old in the U.S. is 4'8". He is 6'5". His name is Archange Raley Lemovu. And as far as I could tell, this guy is indeed 11 years old.
Because he looks young. He's not his height, but like he looks like a child.
I guess, honestly, I can't really tell. He's wearing goggles, and the goggles make him look more like an adult.
Yeah, the rec specs.
Yeah, he's got some rec specs on, Joe, and I look at him, at least compared to all of these kids, it does really look like a total, just a complete freak of nature.
I also always wonder, because there's a clip like this every couple months of like, look at this freak show.
Sad, but true.
10 years old. And I am like, what is this benefit? Like, have this guy bump up a couple, you know, in the U14. Like, have him play against 14-year-olds if he's 6'5".
I think that would be best
for him.
Right.
It would be better for him. It would be better for the little kids. Like,
he's just dunking and swatting every single shot in this one. It's interesting, too, because I've always wondered if somebody would pull a Stolen Valor and like play kids sports again as an adult, because there was something that took place in France. A 28-year-old man in France was trying to pretend to be a 15-year-old hockey player, and people started to sniff to double check how authentic that was after he absolutely decks a kid like over the just in the middle of the ice. They're like, oh, that guy's maybe not 15.
That's an adult.
Actually, I thought we talked, maybe this was right before. There's a 25-year-old last year. Oh, no, this is 2018. Like 6 years ago. He's 25 years old. He was from Houston. He was displaced by Harvey. He went up to Dallas and pretended to be a high schooler and played basketball. Like, that's...
will be fun.
Psychopathic.
Yeah, I've thought about it. I'd be like, how good would I be? You curious? I would love to go back. I think I'm pretty good.
I'd love to go back
and play high school football.
Because be like, you're fully physically developed, and there's some kids that like even, you know, at 16, 17, like they actually aren't fully developed.
That's true. Or
they've been fully developed for a summer. And so like
they're uncoordinated, right?
Yeah, there's just some like level of like you're just more comfortable being an athlete than they are. So I think you would do all right.
Whoa. That would be amazing.
Well, are you going to be back at Shorecrest at single A?
Whoa.
Are we putting you at like...
Yeah.
I'm ready.
Are you ready to play North Shore?
Yeah. I'm ready. I'm ready for the show.
Okay.
I'm ready for the show.
Yeah, Paul takes on North Shore would be like, can we convince them to do it?
21 Jump Street.
No, I wouldn't. I would never subject... I respect North Shore. No, I wouldn't do that with North Shore. At Katy High School. I'm just kidding, guys. I like Katie, too. All right, let's do a little garbage time before we get out of here.
Oh, I love trash.
Garbage time.
It's garbage.
Starts now.
I'm the trash man.
This is garbage.
But if I had to pick between North Shore and Katy, I'd pick North Shore.
I think maybe we should give them a call.
To play?
No. They're playing against each other. No, I would pick North. Like, I would prefer North Shore over
Katy. You're more of a North Shore fan.
Yeah. Like,
can we send Paul to doubles one day? They probably don't do that anymore.
Doubles?
Two days.
No, I'll pass. Load management.
That's the tough part. Is practice.
That's the Paul's in until the end of practice.
Summer conditioning.
It's like, hey,
I wonder how that would go.
I'm good, kids.
Okay.
Oh, I'll see you later.
This was a bit. I'm out.
Yeah. I'll pull out. I'll start ripping a dart.
Yeah.
Like Chad Powers. Sorry, guys.
It's the Chad Powers.
Mahomes rocker. The fight we always wanted. It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. It seems that Patrick Mahomes and his wife, Brittany Mahomes, asked Patrick's father, Patrick Mahomes Sr., to stop. So that fight that would have taken place at Rough and Rowdy is, I guess, no more. What a bummer.
Not even just stop. Portnoy said that, Dave Portnoy from Barstool Sports, he claims that they were going to cut Patrick Mahomes' dad off.
Really?
If he went through with this fight.
It makes sense. I mean, you would think that, given what Patrick Mahomes is now making, that Patrick Mahomes Sr. wouldn't be that cash strapped.
But, like, the fight is the problem, not the three DUIs?
Four, by the way.
Four.
Three that were charged, three that he was charged for. The fourth one, it's funny, there's a fourth one. People don't even talk about it.
Yeah.
I mean, that is a concern, for sure.
Yeah, but it's also like,
probably
I'm
lay
sure
low.
They've already had that talk.
Yeah. It's like, hey, you get a fifth DUI, you're out.
It's got to be weird telling your namesake, actual namesake, you need to dial it back when that person spawned you.
I think with DUIs, it's easier than, like, if my dad wanted to do a rough and rowdy, like, I would feel more weird saying, no, you can't fight another 55-year-old man than I would being like, hey, dad, stop drinking and driving.
Wait, does it say that he thinks his dad would have lost?
Stop.
Does it mean he thinks his dad would have lost the fight?
No, I don't think.
Because, like, if you think your dad's going to win, do you let him get the
No, this is so embarrassing.
Let him go.
This is so trashy.
At the time, I was like, why is the son of a Super Bowl winning quarterback, like, going to be fighting at Rough and Rowdy, like, with the hillbillies on meth? Like, why is he doing this?
Yeah.
He's worth, I mean, his son is worth $500 million.
Yeah, it's pretty trashy to fight in West Virginia. And a fight that, like, the undercard is, like, a bunch of hillbillies that live in a trailer.
I know they're
farm.
From Tyler, but come on.
Yeah.
East Texas shot right there.
That was nice. I liked it. Shout out to Earl Campbell, to Tyler Rose.
Yeah, the only good one.
The only good one, I guess. On that note, that's going to wrap up today's edition of Gallant and George. Big thanks to our texters, callers, Twitchers, and YouTubers. And to everybody else who listened, for Sean Mapes Behind the Glass and for Joe George, I am merely Paul Gallant. So long, farewell, and have yourselves a wonderful Monday. The Killer Bees are up next. Peace!